Pastor David, we're hearing something that we've never heard about before. It's called Scuba Church. What is it, and where do you find it?
Well, for us, Scuba Church exists right there at our Scuba Center here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. We have the Pinerolle Scuba Center, and it has been around for several decades. It is built within a quarry that was mined out, and there was a spring that would feed into that quarry, and they would pump it out on a regular basis. And when they got done doing the more mining in the quarry, they let that spring go, and it filled it up. And it created a depth that you don't normally find in most lakes and other things around here. And so you can actually go there and take scuba lessons and get certifications for open water diving that you would do in the ocean, because the depth of that quarry allowing you to go down to that kind of level. And so it draws people from all over the Midwest. We're not near any beaches with oceans. So we have this great quarry that allows us to do that. And one of the guys in my church had found out about the need that was there and brought it to my attention. We actually did some baptisms out of that quarry as a church. And as we did that, several of the instructors and divers were coming up from their dives as we were doing the baptisms. And they all began to join us in the service, but literally in the water. They just floated around while we were doing the baptisms. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. And everybody was rejoicing. And my deacon came to me later and said, "Hey, you know, a lot of these folks, they don't get to be at church when they're having to get their certification, because it's usually a 2-day process that takes place." And so he said, "Is there a way that we could provide church and worship and spiritual encouragement to the folks who are coming in?" And I said, "Certainly." I didn't understand the full scope of it. I didn't understand the full numbers that would come through that particular area or that center. But I said, "You know, there's no reason that we can't provide spiritual encouragement to anybody that we meet in any place that they're at. I mean, that's the job of the church. That's the entire reason we exist." And so that's what we did. We started up by talking to the owner of the center, and he was all on board, said, "Hey, we'd love to have you guys." And then we were able to go and begin putting together a program that we would utilize. And we had to work it around the dive schedules in just a literal fashion. So we chose to do that. And as we did, we discovered just some amazing people and just an amazing opportunity. It's been a lot of fun. It really is.
Now, I understand that when people are involved in deep diving, after they do it, they have to do this nitrogen detox. So they're mm-hmm. kind of sitting around for a while with time on their hands?
That is correct. So the concept of the nitrogen detox is, and I talked with my deacon to make sure I understand this correctly, because I'm not a scuba diver. I just like to share the gospel with people I meet. So I don't know a lot about the scuba side of it, but he does. And he was explaining it to me that when you are breathing from your tank in the water, the air that you and I breathe normally is O2, it's oxygen, straight up oxygen, and it's a lot of nitrogen that's coming into our body, but we're absorbing it at sea level or at atmospheric levels that allows it to go in and be released all equally. But when it's being breathed in by a tank and you're under the pressure and constraints of the water, the bubbles are literally being reduced in size because they're under pressure. And once they're in your system under that pressure, as you start to come up, they want to expand as that pressure begins to be released, because you're actually getting a higher density of it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is they, at certain intervals, have to come up and they have to allow that nitrogen to be released from their body. It naturally happens. But if they've been down for a long time, there's a whole process by which they have to come up and allow those bubbles to be released and that nitrogen to be released over a period of time. So they do a lesson. The lesson will last sometimes an hour, hour and a half, or something like that. And then they need to spend about an hour on the ground to just let all the nitrogen get out of their system before they take another dive and run for another hour, hour and a half, something like that. And in that time period, they're checking equipment, they're going over rules, policies, things they're supposed to be learning in certification. But also, there's a guy that sells barbecue while they're there. There's an entire community that kind of builds up in and around this. And so we have this opportunity in that time period when they're above water to be able to share the gospel with them. And so we go down and we hand out flyers and tell them we're going to have a scuba church service. And we run them about 15 minutes at a time, knowing that they have other things they're going to need to do in that hour, but they're going to be taking, 15, 20 minutes to be with us. And so that's what we do. And as we do that, we have just met folks from all over. I've met folks from Louisiana. I've met folks from just here in the state of Kentucky. I've met folks from Missouri. They're just from all over. And they've come here to dive, but they're excited when they've seen the church opportunity. And so they come and engage it. And so it's an opportunity for us to be able to share with those who need that spiritual encouragement. And they already know Christ, but they get a boost from having other believers around them, encouraging them. Or they might be somebody that has never met Christ and we'll have the opportunity to share it with them. To be honest with you, Richard, this is our first time doing this. We're roughly about a month and a half in, and we are learning as we go. This is something that, surprisingly, I was never taught at seminary. So I'm learning this process as we go, and it's exciting, it's fun, and I have yet to meet anyone who was at all put off or dismayed by us being there. We have had nothing but very positive responses from everybody, and it's been just a really a lot of fun. In fact, last Sunday we had our largest crowd gathered for worship, and now that's only about 10 divers out of the several that are there. I mean, they usually run, I think it's 100 to 300 can come in through a weekend. So of those folks that are doing that, we had 10 that were there that Sunday to come and join us for worship. And listen, those 10 are very important in God's eyes. And so we really rejoiced over having them come and join us in that. We've also found that the Scuba Center, center staff who like to teach, like the deacon who goes to my church, they're really excited to be able to have an opportunity to go and worship while they're trying to give these lessons and teach these things. They're super excited to be able to come and join us in worship. And so we've had a couple, a husband and wife who literally got married on a dive, not married, I'm sorry, engaged on a dive. They were dating and he went up for a dive with her and he brought a couple of his buddies to film the event. And they went to a wreck that they intended to go to. And in that wreck, he had already previously dove down and placed a, I'm assuming, waterproof note that was held on by a rock down there on a shelf. And as she was diving through that wreck, she saw him pointing at this area. And so she went over there and then she found the note. She picked it up. She read it. And when she turned around, he was down there in the wreck with her. And he had gone to one knee and was holding out the ring. And of course, she said that the tears in her mask were really causing her a lot of concern to be able to breathe while she's creating water within the bubble that she's supposed to live inside of. But she was just overjoyed. And of course, they got married and they are very involved in a church, but they don't get to go through the summer when he's teaching. She's there with him and they'll spend the weekend. They come an hour and a half to the center to do the lessons and teach. And so they're able to come and join us for worship. And it's just a lot of fun. We're really having a good time.
That is a creative engagement, I tell you.
It is, I think, the top of my list. I don't know of anybody else. I mean, I've never met somebody who parachuted or anything like that. So I can't say that it can't be topped, but I am going to say it's awfully unique. And they are a very sweet couple, really sweet couple.
So you sent us a copy of the brochure for Scuba Church, and the
Yes,
title
sir.
was Dive into Truth. How did you
Yes,
come
sir.
up with that?
So the concept of diving into the truth was the simplest way I knew to say that all we want to do is share the gospel. A lot of times we get wrapped up when we start talking about church, and we do have Scuba Church on our shirts. But folks, when they think of church, they think of buildings, they think of denominations, they think of institutions, they think of all the stuff that comes along with it. But the truth is, the shoreline was the very first sanctuary. That's where Jesus walked and talked and taught his followers. And so any place is a church when Jesus is in the middle of them, and those who have come to follow him. And so we just wanted to say, hey, we want to share truth with you. That's all we're here to do. We're not looking to try to get somebody into a particular church or particular denomination or particular this or that. All we want to do is share the gospel. And the gospel's so simple. And I'm so grateful that it is. One of the things that's been a mark of my life has been the fact that I've needed it to be simple, because as I've gotten complicated in the way that I handle things, it's so good to have God call me back to the simplicity of the gospel. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe, if you confess, Paul gives it in four words, you shall be saved. No strings attached, no fine print, no contracts to sign. There's no warranty period, right? We're given the Spirit as a guarantee, and Paul says he's good to the very end. So I love the fact that it's that simple. And when my life gets complicated, one of the things that I love about the truth is that it's so simple. All I have to do is go back to it and remember, you know what? This doesn't work within church politics, or this isn't working within your culture, or this isn't working. But the one thing that does work is that gospel. It's that simple truth that Jesus saves. And so that's kind of where that name came from, or where that title came from. I was trying to think up the simplest way to tell folks why we were there. And that seemed like a obviously a play on words, dive into the truth. But that's where it begins. You just take that plunge with Christ, and you find out all the amazing things that he has waiting for you.
It works for me. Made sense. Now,
Absolutely.
in the same brochure, you talk about the nitrogen problem we talked about a while ago and compare it
Yes.
to a spiritual problem of such. Share that comparison with us.
So we use the term nitrogen problem in this brochure because obviously we're at a scuba center, and they understand that. They've been told, they've been warned, it's been explained to them. And remember, when you and I are breathing, we're breathing in and out nitrogen. It's a part of our existence in this world. You're not going to go somewhere where the nitrogen has been fully removed. We have tanks where you can put on a tank and get pure O2, pure oxygen with no nitrogen, but you're going to get nitrogen in the world in which we live. Well, the same is true with sin. You and I can't go anywhere without sin being around us. This is a fallen world, and we walk amongst a fallen race, humanity. And everywhere that we go, we're going to find sin. We're going to find temptation. It's a part of our life. And there's two ways to handle sin. One is pretend it doesn't exist. In other words, we say, well, it's not really a sin. That's a minor problem. It's not really a sin. It's just an inconvenience. It's not really a sin. And we're handling the symptoms of it and saying, oh, it's just a thing that we handle, but it's not a definitive sin. The other is, yes, it's a sin, but God's okay with it. He's going to be all right with it. It's not a danger. And it's kind of like saying there's a doctor who's found cancer, but he's all right with it. It's not a real big deal. That's never going to be the case. And so the world teaches us either to minimize it, say that God's okay with it, or to honestly erase it, say it's not really a sin. But the Bible says the way to handle it is to handle it straight on, head first, and be able to identify it as a problem. Make sure that you address that problem. Why? Well, so that God can begin literally to remove it from our lives. He begins to take it from us. We can't do it ourselves. None of the divers that come up and handle the nitrogen, none of them are working to remove that. The processes that God already has built in, those processes are taking that nitrogen out of them naturally. And the problem is, if we ignore it, okay, or minimize it, then we put ourselves at risk. And I've met too many folks over my years of ministry that have just worked with symptoms, or they've minimized it, or other things like that, until they can't anymore. And then the damage is often very great. What we want to do is help folks see that sin is a real thing. We have to address it. I have to address it in my life. You have to address it in yours. Folks have to address it in theirs. And how do you do that? Well, the scripture gives us a very easy way of handling that, and that is to give it to God. Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he rose again for the very specific reason of addressing the sin that's in our life. My sin is not your sin, and our sin is not the same as others. Each of us has our own thing that we have to wrestle with or struggle with, but all of us have it. And Jesus Christ came specifically to release us from it. And so I love the fact that if I go to Christ and I confess my sins, as it says in 1 John 1, then literally he takes that nitrogen, he takes that which could grow and become much worse, but he takes it where it's at and he removes it from me. He takes it from my life. And that's not something I do. I'm not holy because I'm an extra amazing person. I'm only holy because there was an extra amazing Savior who gave his life for me. And that releases me. It frees me and it gives me great joy. So I love being able to share it. But again, the reason we call it a nitrogen problem is because in our world, you can't always see the sin that's in somebody's life, but it's there, right? And you may want to ignore that sin or minimize that sin, but I promise you, it's growing. The longer you're in this world, the more it's building up. And you're going to have to address it one day or another. I always encourage folks to address it sooner than rather than later. You know, the Apostle Paul in the pamphlet, we actually have Romans 3:23. Everyone has sinned and fallen short. We all have it. There's nobody that walks this face of the earth that can say, well, you know, I'm just a sinless creature. Only Jesus. And so because of that, you don't have to feel isolated or pinpointed when somebody begins to talk about sin. You can say, you know what, I do have that, just like everybody else has that. But the question is, what am I going to do about it? And once you change the conversation that direction, then you're walking into solutions instead of, you know, trying to maintain the status quo or deny problems. I think that's the most healthy place for a person to be.
At Scuba Church, have you ever had, I know this is all kind of new and you're feeling it out. Have you ever had someone just come to you and need counseling? You know, hey, could you talk to me here on the side? I know it's, you know, are you finding that?
I'm hopeful that we will. I can say that we've had one individual who we found out quite literally in the first weeks that we started, their mother had passed away. And so we didn't wait for them to come to us when they were passing by us, and we know them because they're part of the staff. We reached out to them and we said, hey, we just want to pray over you today. And so that's what we did. Because it is so new, I don't think we've had that counseling opportunity yet. Not to say that it can't occur. The other piece to this too, which is really amazing to me, is the fact that we oftentimes will not see people more than maybe twice at most. And then they're going to be going on somewhere else. The Scuba Center here within our town, it will run anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 people through there under the peak season. I mean, that's a lot of people. And so every weekend, what's happening is folks are rotating in and they're getting their class. And after they've gotten their class, they might be back for another weekend to do a practice dive or to finish things off. But then they're going to be flying out to, you know, the Cayman Islands or wherever else you go to go dive. And they're going to be using what it is they're learning and engaging in it. And so we don't really get to see folks, I'm going to say three, four, and five times. And what I have found most often in my counseling is that you need to have a relationship begin to build before folks begin to feel safe enough to be able to say, hey, this is what's happening in my life. Unless something is truly tragic, unless something has truly broken them before you arrive. And so that's what we pray. We pray just that God will allow us to have those encounters that He desires us to have. And whether we're encouraging somebody who's already healthy but can do a whole lot better with their life, or whether we're talking to somebody who's ultimately broken and we want to see them heal so that God can do amazing things in their life. Either way, we're where God wants us to be, and we're doing it with a smile. And I tell you again, it is so much fun. I don't know if I can convey it correctly. To have a sanctuary where it's blue skies above and gorgeous waters below, and be able to be in the midst of folks who all have big smiles and are trying something new. I just got to tell you, it's so much fun. I love doing ministry in lots of places and in lots of ways, but this has just been a real joy.
And Pastor David, your primary role, you're the lead pastor at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville. What do you see God doing in church, particularly maybe with Gen Z, Gen Alpha, things happening these days?
Well, with the younger generation, and the engagement of the church, I can say it quite literally through the churches that I know all around us as well, that I think I'm seeing a greater commitment level of those who know Christ. I want to say I'm seeing a return to Christ of that generation. I've heard it reported and other things like that. I have not seen personally all of that, but I have seen a greater commitment level of those who are in that generation or age bracket to want to do something good for Christ. So I think that God is moving. I really think that He is changing our world right around us. And we have an opportunity to make a massive difference there. But the one thing that I would also state is that I think God is moving as much with the seniors and older folks within our culture as well. I think God has shaken up a lot of folks and encouraged them to say, you know what, it doesn't matter what my age is, I need to serve God. It doesn't matter what my time left here on earth is, I want to finish strong. And I'm meeting seniors who are powerfully and passionately desirous of being able to share the gospel. We're going to do VBS. They're setting up right now outside my office, and we'll have a lot of folks who are younger who are going to be serving with great passion. We're going to have a lot of folks who are older who are going to be serving with great passion. And they're all doing it for the same reason, which is they really believe that God wants to do something with their life and to make a difference for Him. Our church, we have basically three goals. One is to revive every heart, that's to share the gospel. The second is to build every home. No matter what your family looks like, we want to build your family. And then the third is to impact our world. When you have those as your goals, honestly, it doesn't matter what your age is. My youngest son just got back from doing missions in Utah, and he wants to revive hearts and build folks up and impact this world. But at the same time, there was a lady who went from our church on that same team, and she's in her 70s. And she drove all those hours to get out there and to be able to do that ministry because she wants the exact same things. And I just love that about Jesus. You know, when Paul said in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, right? And he goes through the entire list. The only thing he didn't say is there is neither young nor old. And I really believe in the family of God. If you're living for Him, then He's going to energize you precisely where you're at, and He'll use you in that way.
Including Scuba Church.
Including Scuba Church. Well, the truth is, I think Scuba Church is just another example. And I'm sure that you encounter this probably in your research and seeing things around the country all the time, that we always think of church in one particular box again, and He opens doors up everywhere we go. Actually, right before you and I were able to get together and have this conversation, I got a text from a gentleman that I know who lives in Florida. And the only reason I know him is because I met him in line at a roller coaster at a theme park. And we began a conversation about Christ. And now we meet weekly to discuss the scriptures and to help grow in the faith. And, it doesn't matter where you are. If your eyes and ears are open for God to use you and for you to hear God speak, I promise you can find him at scuba lessons. You can find him at roller coasters. You can find him anywhere. He's always at work around you.
Pastor Tucker, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us here.
Well, thank you for giving the call. I appreciate it.